Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, kaboom, howdy. Aboard as we begin this President's Day edition of the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. Freaking freezing outside. And here in the Horn studios, it is a toasty 48 degrees. And we're going to get through 3 hours of broadcasting. It'll make this studio just blazing hot. Nah, best not say blazing hot. It's blazing hot down in Deepwater, West Virginia. Well, between Mount Carbon and Deepwater, West Virginia, on the banks of the early stages of the Great Kanawha River. Anyway, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go to jump into the chat room where folks are already congregating, being as how this is a Horn Family Commune congregation. Good evening, Flavio. Good evening, Gerald. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Texas D. And good evening to longtime inveterate, veteran, indefatigable chat room moderator and third stage guild navigator, Sparky, who has folded space to also become Man Cave. More folks along presently. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where you go if you want to access the archives. It's also where you go if you want to help keep this program on the air. We rely on listener contributions day in and day out to keep everything going here because it takes really quite a bit. Well, relatively speaking, this is actually the biggest media bargain in the world today, I think, for what we do and how we do it. We try to raise $150 a day. Thanks very kindly to Bill. Bill got us started a little bit earlier today, and that was a huge help. So instead of trying to raise $150 this evening, we're only trying to raise $125. Thank you very kindly, Bill, for jumping in early. It does indeed mean a lot. That's how we keep all of this. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And yes, it's the 16th day of February, 2015. May wind up being one of those dates that you just kind of wind up remembering, like January the 9th, 2014. That, of course, was the day that 300,000 people got their water poisoned in Charleston, West Virginia, a little further down the Great Kanawha River from the General Montgomery area. I presume you've maybe seen my Facebook page. Some of you, of course, haven't. Some of you don't do Facebook. Some of you don't do Twitter. We've had another one of those days in the sacrifice zone today. Now we're in the process of getting a foot or so of snow. Nothing compared to what the good people of Boston have had to tolerate this winter. But we're going to get down to sub-zero temperatures this evening. We're close on the order of a foot of snow on the ground. The roads are a complete mess. So naturally. In the midst of all of that, well, here in the sacrifice zone, we can't just be laying about. No, we have to have something interesting. So, yea verily, about 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this afternoon, a bomb train, and, you know, bomb trains roll through this part of West Virginia most every day because freedom, because money, because profit. Because, well, who gives a damn about actual human beings? Because Wolverines! Of the hydrocarbon variety, I suppose. Yeah. The bomb train blew up. They do that, you know. No, really. They just do that sometimes. Bomb train can be toddling along down the tracks. And then you boom. Well, it's a lot more like, it's a much bigger boom. And sometimes they go off one at a time, like they apparently are doing down in the Kanawha Valley right now. Bob Aaron from WCHS TV8 was on the scene all the way across the river. He was standing across the river from the blaze coming off of this conflagration, and he could feel the heat from it all the way across the river. Let me tell you a little bit about that area. Of course, the New River, which is the second oldest river on Earth, the New River flows north out of its source in North Carolina, through Virginia, into West Virginia, and down at the foot of the mountain on top of which I live, it merges with the Gauley River, that's G-A-U-L-E-Y, at a place called Gauley Bridge. Once upon a time, many, many years ago, way over a century, probably near, more like two, a fellow with the last name of Kincaid, actually, had the concern running the ferry that crossed there at the confluence of the Gauley and the New River, and he made a tidy living for himself. He survived ferrying people back and forth across the river. Along came, and granted, it's the early 1800s, but still, along came socialism, and someone decided to build a bridge across the Gauley River. Well, the ever-enterprising Mr. Kincaid promptly burnt the bridge down. He was, after all, engaging in free enterprise there with his little ferry business and didn't want to be put out of business by some damn bridge. But that's where Gauley Bridge gets its name. It's where they put the bridge across the Gauley, because it was flat enough to support one. Well, the Gauley and the New flow together in an absolutely picturesque, beautiful place. And thenceforward, it is known as it flows southwestward, mostly west, as the Great Kanawha River, K-A-N-A-W-H-A, Kanawha River. On the north side of the Kanawha River, U.S. Route 60, one of the great American highways, the Midland Trail, follows its path. It goes down from Gauley Bridge to little places like, Falls View, because there's a beautiful, beautiful set of falls there on the first part of the Kanawha River. It was used as a hydroelectric station and has recently been rejuvenated as such. It was a hydroelectric station for Union Carbide when it put in one of its first furnaces. But that furnace wasn't big enough, so they decided to build bigger ones. And they built an installation called Alloy, because they were alloying metals there. And it was a good place for a plant, because you had ready access to timber for wood chips. You had ready access to coal for coke. And quartz would be brought in, and boom, there you go. Next thing you know, you're making silicon metal, which my daddy learned to do when he got done sailing around in the belly of an aircraft carrier during the Second World War. He became a furnace operator at Union Carbide's alloy plant, and that's where he learned the silicon business, which he then translated into a job in Alabama. Enter me. So there, right across from Alloy, is a little place called Deepwater and another place called Mount Carbon. No, well, really. And along through there runs a railroad. It once upon a time was the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad. And then it became the Chessie system. And now it is just the sort of Orwellian CSX. And on those CSX rails today, a train carrying Bakken crude oil, which is something on the order of twice as volatile as gasoline, refined gasoline, and is somehow yet allowed to be transported in rail cars, even though gasoline isn't. That train had some 18 Bakken crude cars on it. It was bound for a refinery terminal in Virginia. You may recall a year or so ago, or thereabouts, you may recall that a bomb train blew up in Lynchburg, Virginia. Well, it was on the same route. And there's a, well, there's a historical connection there as too, as well. Those Chessie tracks, those CSX tracks. The man who was the father of the CNO was a man named Collis P. Huntington. He was one of those robber barons of the late 19th century. Huntington Beach, California, and Huntington, West Virginia, are both named for Collis P. Huntington. In the case of Huntington, West Virginia, he dictated that the town that would bear his name have avenues so broad that huge multi-teamed horse carriages could drive abreast in either direction. Huntington, sitting there on the banks of the Ohio River, has some broad avenues. Seen better days, Huntington has. Of course, you could say that about most of West Virginia. But Collis P. Huntington was hell-bent on driving a railroad through the New River Gorge and, in point of fact, through Appalachia. And all of his high-rolling, highfalutin, gilded age, more dollars than cents, buddies looked at him and said, Collis, oh, Collis, old shoe, you'll never accomplish it. It simply can't be done. To which Collis said, I'll take that as a challenge. And so, he set about building the C&O Railroad. And he needed people who could do the impossible. Building that railroad along that narrow, narrow, narrow strip of land down by the Kanawha River and eventually by the New River, along through the New River Gorge, past places like Thurmond, Brooklyn, Fayette Station, Thurmond, Prince, McKendree, and on and out past places like Alderson, Hinton, White Sulphur Springs, where the dandies would get off to go to the C&O resort at the Greenbrier, where was built one of the oldest golf courses in America, the Old White. No irony there. Continuing on out of West Virginia through places like Clifton Forge, Virginia, and Stanton, Virginia, Charlottesville, Lynchburg, where the other train blew up. And one of the men who helped Collis P. Huntington do the impossible was my great-grandfather, Walter. He was a foreman on a track laying gang. Got one photograph of him. One. And I reckon he probably wasn't much older than I am now, but he looks like he's 1,000 years old. He looks older than Methuselah. Who knows about those little tiny incremental sand specks in the storm of time? Who knows? Maybe great-grandfather Walter doesn't help build that railroad. Damn bomb train doesn't blow up in deep water. Nah, Collis P. Huntington would have found a way to build his railroad one way or the other. Because freedom. Because money. Because there was coal to be hauled out of them thar hills. See, that had been the problem. Everybody knew that southern West Virginia was rich with coal, filthy rich with coal. But there was no way to get it to market. And then there was. And so it was that about 1:30 today, for reasons we do not know, except for the fact that, well, you know, sometimes bomb trains just blow up. Because why would we even care? You know, why would we even want to inquire as to whether or not it would be wise to ship that filth via rail? I mean, this is the same kind of stuff that blew up in Lac-Mégantic, Quebec, and killed how many people? 50 or more? Bomb trains have blown up in, like I said, Virginia. They've blown up in North Dakota. They've blown up near Aliceville in Alabama. They blow up. And as far as I know, they're still blowing up down the river. Had the weather been any better at all, there's every likelihood I may not have been I may have not even been behind the microphone. I might have gone down the river trying to get a gander at it, get some pictures for you guys to see. But no, there's no getting down the mountain. And so we're here. Moran Monday on the Horn. And it's got potential to be a real Lulu. But you'll forgive me, I hope, if I'm a little fixated on this. One of the trains blew up, or one of the train cars, when it blew up, caught a man's house on fire. Now, you want to talk about being born on a rotten day. This poor guy, his wife was already in the hospital, and his house gets ignited because freedom. Because America has to be energy independent. He gets his house burnt down, winds up in the hospital himself being treated for fumes, and God knows that stuff's not good for you. Great black balls of fiery hell boiling up into the sky down there. A few hundred feet, maybe 15, maybe, no, I don't know, 1,000, 1,200, 1,300 feet lower than where I am. Lucky for me, prevailing winds blow this way. Yeah. Will there be an inquiry? Probably not. Finally, after about 4 or 5 hours, there began to be some coverage in the for-profit media. WCHS-TV and Bob Aaron, who is a good, you know, old-school, real, active reporter kind of reporter, got up there and was phoning it in back to the studios. But here's what I found interesting. The explosion took place here, where I live, in Fayette County, West Virginia. We have a TV station here, and it's been on the air for a very, very, very long time. They used to run their own wrestling shows and stuff. Its call sign is WOAY, Oak Hill Beckley. I don't know that, I'm not watching it right now, but I did check as soon as I saw that this was happening just to see, you know, would they break in? Because, see, people on the side of the river where the explosion took place were being evacuated. People on the other side of the river from where the explosion took place were being evacuated. And both of those communities are, oddly enough, in Fayette County, West Virginia. The broadcast area served, as they will tell you when they sign off every night at WOAY, by WOAY, with a license issued by we, the people of the United States, working on that more perfect union via the capacity of the Federal Communications Commission. I kept it right there on WOAY for quite some time. I'm not sure if they were showing Steve Harvey, The Talk. I think it was Steve Harvey. And they were running their crawler about how godforsaken cold it is and how much snow is there going to be and how many churches are closed and how many schools and how many daycare centers. Not a damn word about, oh, by the way, if you happen to live in Boomer or, you know, the Deepwater area, you might be on the lookout for somebody to come by and tell you to bug the hell out because you're under an evacuation order. News Ninja Carol Baker pointing out, according to NBC News, it's only sparked one house fire. Good news! Unless, of course, it's your house. Right. It's only being, yeah, people are only being evacuated for precautionary purposes. Nobody's even really saying much about the stuff people are inhaling right now. Because, well, you can't see the air, so how could it possibly hurt you? Early on, there was a release, there was a press release from the West Virginia, there it is. I'm sorry, from the Kanawha County Emergency Management Agency. Here's what they released. A large train derailment has occurred at Adena Village. By the way, we may have to roll back to that and perhaps examine some of the irony involved in just naming somewhere Adena Village. I reckon Dr. John's probably at work right now, so he won't be able to chime in on that, but I know that Adena Village, Dr. John. Adena Village. Yeah. A large train derailment has occurred at Adena Village in the Montgomery area. This incident is believed, oh, there's that word, to involve a large number of tankers carrying crude oil. Several tank cars and houses along with... Now, this is the part that I went... Several tank cars and houses, along with the Kanawha River, are on fire. There's one you don't see every day. The Kanawha River is on fire. Some of these tank cars have exploded. Water systems. Oh, hey, look. It's West Virginia getting its water poisoned again. Well, I'll be dipped. Water systems from Montgomery downstream have been notified to close their intakes. If you live in a community with an independent water system, it is important that you conserve water. Also, please avoid this area! And then what I consider to be the punchline, the Kanawha County Emergency Operations Center is already staffed due to the weather, and we are also now coordinating efforts necessary to protect our citizens. I'd say the horse is out of that barn and about 20 miles away now that you're closing the doors, fellas and ladies. You see, the whole how to protect our citizens part involves not letting highly volatile crude oil be transported by train. Did I mention that the area, I mean, this was just a few short miles west of it. This train was about to enter the New River Gorge National Park. But that's okay. Some frigid-ass morning, one of these things will blow up under the New River Gorge Bridge. That should be fun. Let's see, it's 876 feet from the deck of the bridge to the river below. I'd say it's maybe it's 40 feet higher to the railroad bed. So 876, you call it 840 feet. You reckon a fireball from a Bakken crude tanker or several exploding could send a fireball hot enough and high enough to maybe, I don't know, melt the roadway on a bridge that's, you know, 840 feet above it? Do you think? I bet you someday, because freedom, because energy independence because money. We'll get to find out. Oh, and you know what? The tourism industry is just going to love it when all those gallons and gallons of uncombusted Bakken crude oil go pouring into the new river, the second oldest river on Earth. Because everybody wants to go and go white water. Well, it won't really be white water anymore, will it? Go goo water rafting down the new river. I think we get some double digits of millions of dollars of economic impact in the tourism industry in this general area every year from people who like to go down the new river. But, and you know what, sometimes, and this is really cool, sometimes when you're whitewater rafting down the New River, you can see the bomb trains going through. Yes, you can! Wonder, because I have a macabre imagination, wonder what would happen when one of those suckers went off. If one of those suckers went off as maybe some rubber rafts were bobbing by along in on the river. Yeah, me too. Now coordinating efforts necessary to protect our citizens. Any government agency in the state of West Virginia that professes to be even remotely interested in protecting the citizens of West Virginia are, and I don't want to put too fine a point on this, lying. Because you do not let happen in West Virginia what is routinely and daily allowed to happen here, and still at the same time say that, at least not with a straight face. News Ninja Carol Baker pointing out, you're worried about what people are breathing? Let me channel Bill O'Reilly. The toxins are breathed in, the toxins are breathed out. We can't explain it. Yeah, see, that's the only problem. Your lungs, where these things are concerned, are kind of, I mean, this is kind of gross, but they're roach motels. The toxins get in, but they don't get out. Just another day in almost level West by God, Virginia. And we don't know how long the water intakes are going to remain closed. But hey, it's not like 300,000 people are affected this time. It's just some, and it's not even in Charleston, so most of the people in Charleston won't even give a F. I mean, remember, when 300,000 of them got themselves poisoned, or were poisoned, they didn't have anything hand in it themselves. Well, except for the fact that some of the people who got poisoned were like lobbyists and shit for the chemical and coal industry, and they had a hand in it. But when 300,000 people got poisoned, not even 1% of those 300,000 could be bothered to come and surround the Capitol building and demand that never be allowed to happen again. In fact, scant months later, something like 10, many of those selfsame people went to the polls in this state and elected people who had promised to go to Charleston as part of a new Republican majority and roll back any regulations that had offended the coal or chemical or natural gas industries, which they are now doing. Sort that one out. Really, that's what the teabaggers in Charleston are doing now. I mean, you know, besides trying to create religious exceptions for religious people with religious tenets who want to make sure that little Timmy Typhoid doesn't have to get his shots and able to go to school. Besides doing that, besides putting forward bills for what is called, and Kelly told me about this over the weekend, and I just, I live in a perpetual state of, that painting, you know, the scream. Me. There's some God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding, Second Amendment-loving American patriots who are trying to get something in West Virginia passed that is referred to as constitutional carry. That means that you can carry a firearm, concealed or un, anywhere in the state of West Virginia and not be having to put up with that bothersome regulatory mess of getting a concealed carry permit or even attending a class that says you know which end of the gun does business. Wolverines! Yeah. And besides doing that, and besides introducing bills that to fire history teachers for mentioning socialism or communism or social problems, besides doing all that, the legislature, the teabaggers, those urine-colored, flag-waving, snake-flag people, they're busily trying to make sure that the things that made it possible for Freedom Industries to poison 300,000 people with a chemical that we really don't know what's going to do to them until we're going to, we'll wait 10, 20 years until the cancer cluster forms, and say, wonder why the hell we got a cancer cluster. Well, we've always had a cancer cluster in the Kanawha Valley. Right? Yeah, that's what they're doing. Really. So that's kind of our day here. Jan and Jerry out in Vegas. Bob, tonight you could do river rafting by the glow of the bomb train. Shit, Bob, they're getting closer and closer to you all the time. Yeah, adjust your azimuth, boys. They're getting closer and closer to all of us. Jim pointing out by email, it was just business, Mike. Boom. Yeah, this feels like the hydrocarbon industry kind of putting a horse's head in West Virginia's bed. It really does. But it's not just West Virginia's bed. It's America's bed. Let's see. Has it happened yet? Anybody want to do the homework and look around? 3, 2, 1. Headline, this is why we need to build the Keystone XL pipeline. That's not really fair of me because it's not like I'm using the moth-eaten, dry-rotted purple velvet robe with the frayed applique moon and stars and the old magic eight ball that's perpetually stuck on answer hazy ask again later and will thee kiss me in the dark baby across the chest? And no, I didn't even have to because, see, they've already done it.
Well, obviously, it's kind of unsafe to transport this stuff by rail, but, if you want us to keep blowing up your cities, well, just don't build that Keystone XL pipeline. No, really.
This is kind of like Koch Brothers extortion, isn't it? Be a real pity if something happened to your river there. That's a nice river you got. Be a real shame if a few train cars exploded. But meanwhile, remember, somewhere in some oil company's office, there's an accountant who is working overtime this evening, not trying to sort out how much they're going to have to pay in liability, that's what the insurance is for, but trying to figure out how much money they lost today because the train blew up. Oh, the shareholders will not be happy. We'll have to pump twice as hard. Yeah. I guess we should consider ourselves fortunate that there were only 18 cars in this. Maybe this is a function of the Saudis putting the squeeze on them, that there wasn't that this wasn't an entire humongous bomb train. This is just 18 cars. Boom, 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 boom. Right? And while this does happen in other parts of the country, when it happens here, it has a sort of feeling of, oh, what? Forget it, Jake. It's Appalachia. Yeah? You know.
Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
Right. And we keep sort of dodging bullets. I mean, we didn't, 29 families, well, maybe, who knows, much more than 29 families didn't dodge a bullet at Upper Big Branch or Sago. And we won't know for 10, 15, 20 years who dodged bullets and who didn't coming out of the Freedom disaster. I reckon the guy who didn't get burned alive in his house by American capitalism today down there, I guess he's considering himself fortunate and blessed. But isn't it interesting that when something like, well, I was sure blessed that I didn't get burned alive. Instead of asking the question, why did my house have to get burned down at all? Well, if God really liked you, you'd be rich, and you wouldn't be living by the tracks now, would you? See how it works. Burned alive. Yeah, thank God I didn't get burned alive. In the Middle East, ISIS does that. The United States, we rely on the free market to do that for us. Yeah. So, like I said, I hope you'll forgive me if that was the first thing on my mind this evening. And I do. I worry about what people are breathing down there because it becomes inescapable. And there's not going to be much in the way of inquiry. I don't reckon. Luda pointing out, Al Jazeera has been covering this all day. You know, a real news outlet. Right. But how many people down there in the affected area get Al Jazeera? My beef with the local news outfit is that as a part of the license that is granted to these stations to use the airwaves that are owned by the public, you know, you, me, we the people, more perfect union, promote the general welfare, provide for the common defense, that bunch. Kind of fell flat on the common defense part on this one, didn't we? Those licenses are supposed to directly serve the people in the area. Obviously, it did not. Which leads to the question, why do they have a license? Jack in Shreveport pointing out, you know, Bob, even if the KXL pipeline were built, the bomb trains along the routes you've been talking about would still run, and probably just as often. Is that right? Well, this is not tar sands crude. And Lord God, I mean, now maybe my engineering is off here, or my understanding of the engineering is off, but remember, the KXL pipeline is designed to be perpetually heated enough to make this stuff, which in its natural room temperature state is just sort of stay-at-home sludgy goo, it's got to be heated enough to make this stuff flow through the pipeline. Now, Bakken crude is, what, nearly twice as volatile as gasoline? Let's run that through a heated pipeline. Yeah, I didn't think so either. Boom. And you know, Bakken Fields area of North Dakota is not exactly right next to the tar sands area of Calgary, after all. So, yeah, I think Jack's got a point. But then again, I saw a post today from Merlot man, John Boner, saying, the Keystone XL pipeline will bring us 42,000 American jobs. Well, let's build it right now, Mr. President. So, why wouldn't they lie? The Keystone XL pipeline is not going to bring any 42,000 jobs to nowhere. Although the places where the Keystone XL pipeline would run will rapidly become nowhere. All right? Yeah. So, why wouldn't they lie?
Well, I think we need to build a Keystone XL pipeline. So, because we want to, so we don't have to carry the Bakken crude in the choo-choo trains.
Tell me he wouldn't. All right. Well, that's true, too. Ron pointing out, they may be getting Bakken crude in the Dakotas, but they're shipping millions of barrels of that crap across Canada. And it's coming from the Bakken fields. It's not just going to one place, but when it comes east, it tends to go to a terminal in Virginia. Now, some of that stuff is going across Canada. Some of it's going across the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, I think. God almighty. But yeah, it's going and flowing. I mean, that's why Loch McGontic got blown up. Let's run over to the phone lines and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Howdy.
Howdy. No, I was just saying, I'm just so sorry about what happened. And
well, let's start. Let's work with names. First name?
This is Flavio.
Oh, Flavio, okay. Yeah, okay, hi. Hi, Flavio. You haven't called enough for me to immediately memorize the sound of your voice.
You know who I am.
Yeah, I knew, well, I do now.
Yeah. This is so tragic because it's emblematic of how the powers that be had just gotten contact of all of the levers of power in this country, and they get to do whatever they want, whenever they want, and it's just disgusting because in a democracy, this is supposed to be a democracy.
Okay, can we hold on right there for a moment, Flavio? This is not
Yes.
supposed to be a democracy. This is supposed to be a republic. When the framers set up the Constitution, they had two models to look at. They had the Athenian democracy and they had the Roman Republic. They exhibited a much greater preference for the republic model because, in point of fact, if you immerse yourself in some of Dr. Bill's discussions, what you find out is that under the Articles of Confederation, and prior to the calling of the Constitutional Convention, actual democracy was breaking out all over the place, and it scared the framers of the Constitution half to death. So this never was intended to be a democracy. It does not operate according to democratic principles. And if anything, as I've said a number of times on this program, this country was designed such that democracy has always been aspirational at best and never operational.
I like that that framework. Aspirational, but not never operational. Okay. But that's what we want. That's what...
Well, we think we do. It certainly beats the hell out of oligarchy, which is what we're dealing with right now.
It's like when you actually ask people, what would you actually want? When you actually ask people, what would you really rather? Or if I may say the way the Southerners say, if I had my druthers.
Yes.
Right?
I speak druther.
Okay. Druthers? Okay. What would we want? Well, we would want a government that looked out for everybody. Not just the rich, not just the poor, everybody. Right?
Theoretically.
And this is the problem that we have right now, that the powers that be are so good at divide and conquer. I'm quoting the governor from my state. Wisconsin.
Scott?
Yeah, Scott. Yeah. Divide and conquer. He's so good at that.
I don't think he's got that much native talent, Flavio. I think it stems from the fact that he has boodles and boodles of Koch brothers money behind him. See, if I were Jeb Bush, I mean, I saw some numbers this morning before the train blew up and I was paying attention to other things. I saw some numbers this morning that indicated that he and Jebby Bush are neck and neck in presidential preference polls, you know, running in the high mid-teens, both of them. And if I were Jebby Bush, I would be nervous, because if the Koch brothers decide that they want to put their money behind Scott Walker, Jebby Bush ain't going to win.
That's scary.
But again, with the moth-eaten, dry-rotted velvet purple robe and the frayed maplique moon and stars thing, I've been saying that Scott Walker was the silent running and had the inside track to the Republican nomination for at least 4 years now.
Wow. No, I hadn't thought of that. No, what I was saying was that the right, they have it down to a science. Who is it? George Lakoff, the political scientist?
And linguist, yes. Yes.
And linguist. That the Democrats don't know how to frame anything, and the Republicans know how to frame everything. They know how to frame it, you know, because the Republicans have run down this country for so long, in the last 30, 40 years. And they've run this country down for so long that I don't know how to explain it, but I'll let you take the reins.
No. Continue, please. You're fine.
No, I mean, they know how to frame the message. They know how to cultivate envy of the middle class against the poor to the benefit of the rich. And it just goes on and on. It's like...
Well, that's certainly part of it, Flavio. It's absolutely part of it.
They're so good at it. They're amazing.
But they're only as amazing as they are because of the lack of education, generally speaking, among most of the American electorate.
And the funny thing is that, I'll confess, I'm a Brazilian. The same thing is going on in Brazil. They are just so hell-bent on demolishing Dilma Rousseff's administration in Brazil. And I'll confess, I have no problem with that. Three-quarters of my family is fascist.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I don't think you just throw that word around.
No. Three-quarters of my family wants the return of the dictatorship of the lieutenant colonels in Brazil. Yeah. Three-quarters of my family.
Well, in the long run, it kind of depends on what China wants, doesn't it? I mean, isn't Brazil intimately associated with in a commercial relationship with China now?
I just don't know what to think. I mean, I'm like, I've got cousins on Facebook and everything, and they just love Aécio Neves, the one that lost in the last election. They just want the return of this guy who's a wife beater. He's a wife beater. He's gross. That's the only word I know in English to describe this guy.
Right.
Gross. So they want the return of the lieutenant colonels. They want the return of the 1964 dictatorship in Brazil.
Well, look, let's understand something, Flavio. It doesn't matter whether it's Brazil or the United States or virtually any other country. For ordinary people, one of the selling points to fascism is that it's easy. Fascism, you keep your head down, you amuse yourself as you can, you go to work if you got a job, you come home, but you don't ruffle any feathers, you don't criticize the government. When they tell you to come out and wave a flag, you come out and wave a flag. You lionize your military.
The Brazilian flag is really pretty.
Oh, it is pretty. that green.
It's got this positivist Auguste Comte.
But the point is
order in progress. Yeah. Order in progress.
Order in progress. Well, that's a clue. The order part especially. But I mean fascism is easy to live under. Real freedom isn't. It's messy.
Yeah.
The kind of freedom that was envisioned by the framers of the Constitution was predicated upon a class of people who would be, at least in Jefferson's terms, yeoman farmers, but also intimately bound up in the running of government. And we just aren't very much interested in that, now are we?
No, but it's so funny.
Because there's got to be smart people somewhere who know how to run all of this. And if it turns out to be the Koch brothers, okay.
No, those guys are evil. Those guys are so evil. I don't know what to say. I mean, they've amassed so much wealth thanks to this country, thanks to all of the wealth and the power of the government. They've amassed so much. Did I say a wealth?
Yeah, well.
Okay, I just invented it. Okay, no, they've amassed so much money that they just run the levers, or levers or levers?
Now you pick. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Okay. They have the levers of government and... No, I wanted to say something else. The 21 Coptic Christians, I don't know if that's true or not. I did not click on the link to the video.
Oh, you mean the ones? The ones that were.
No, I did not.
The ones that were murdered by ISIS. Whatever.
I did not. I did not click on the lever. The lever?
Link.
Oh, okay. forget it.
That's okay.
I did not click on that. But the reality is this, that the mess in the Middle East is a product of U.S. foreign policy.
Oh, a big hunk of it is, absolutely.
And Jesus Christ.
Yeah, him too.
What will it take for people here to understand? If your country were invaded by Canada, which I devoutly wish. I'm referring to a novel, It Can't Happen Here.
Okay.
Sinclair Lewis. A dictatorship takes over the United States, and what in the end saves the United States is an invasion by Canada. 1935. Sinclair Lewis.
Right. Hey,
it was about the cocktail coup.
Going back to ISIS, ISIL for a minute. I had a thought earlier today when I was seeing footage on the interweb tubes about it. I wonder if our geniuses, because you know they are super geniuses down there, sitting around amongst the various servers of the Uniblab 10,000 and the. In the basement of the NSA. Hi, Agent Fred. I wonder if those geniuses have begun to, it's impossible that they can't have noticed the orange jumpsuit that everybody has to wear when ISIL, ISIS decides to chop your head off or set you on fire. Do you think that they're drawing a conclusory line, but why are they using orange jumpsuits and then thinking, wait a minute, everybody we've got in our concentration camp down at Guantanamo Bay is wearing an orange jumpsuit too. I don't think this is just a fashion statement. But then I wonder if our super geniuses at the CIA, a term I use laughingly, super geniuses, not CIA, actually mutually exclusive terms, I wonder if they're, because... You know, e-commerce is real big, but they've got that Uniblab 10,000, and they've got the ability to spy on everybody under the sun. And
yes.
ISIS, ISIL has taken a lot of prisoners, and they always have them decked out in the orange, in the Guantanamo orange jumpsuits when they go to kill them. And I'm not making sport of this; it's horrifying. But with the profound powers that we are assured, the NSA and their counterpart in Great Britain and Australia and Canada and God knows where else, with all the computing power and the snooping power and the spying power, you'd think they could find an e-commerce trail of, 72 orange jumpsuits.
That is a very good point.
In various sizes being shipped to freaking Syria.
That is a very good point. I hadn't thought of that. And that, it's like, what the hey?
Now, I mean, we order
these guys have all these uniforms.
Yeah, we order shitloads of them in the United States because everybody in our prison industrial complex just about has to wear an orange jumpsuit, except like maybe in Mississippi Stan and Louisiana Stan, where they're still doing the black and the white. But we've got the market cornered. That must mean that somewhere there's a huge manufacturing concern set up to make these damn things. And I'm pretty sure the ones being made for ISIS and ISIL are not being made by a little old ISIL convert lady in her beekeeper suit sitting somewhere in fucking Damascus.
No, that's hilarious, because. You know
maybe it's funny, but it's true. It's true.
Black and white. That is hilarious. I hadn't thought of that. That is amazing.
Well, I just wonder if our intelligence national security state geniuses have.
Jeez, no, probably not. Oh, my Lord.
So, you know, that's like Randy pointing out ISIS is riding around in diesel-powered late-model cars, and our government can't seem to bomb their mostly above-ground oil refineries. Of course, those oil refineries are probably owned by Exxon, so Exxon might object.
Oh, Lord. This is the best conversation I've had in years.
I haven't heard that in a while, but I thank you very kindly for it, Flavio.
No, absolutely. No, I have a television. It sits atop my refrigerator. You know what I use it for? Rental movies.
No, that works. That works.
Do I watch? Do I have cable? No. I refuse. You know why? Because my IQ points would drop every minute I watch that crap.
I understand completely. What it is, it has been awfully...
I just will not watch network television at all.
No, I don't blame you. But it has been a lovely conversation, Flavio. I hope it will not be our last. Ring in any time. And by the way, it's good to see you there in the chat room too.
Okay. Have a great night.
I'm just hoping for not freezing at this point. So
No, but I'm really sorry about the accident, quote unquote. And is there anything anybody can do? Because out in my state of Wisconsin, you know that they are mining for sand.
Yes.
For fracking.
I've been there. I've seen the trains. I've seen the trains.
And the most activist people in Wisconsin are the people in northern Wisconsin because they're being depredated.
Yeah. Well, it's also because the core of that resistance is led by some pretty brilliant tribal people that I happen to call my friends, and I have this notion, it's been sort of swimming around in my head for a while now. I have this notion, Flavio, that when the shit hits the fan globally, as it is beginning to do, humanity's only hope is going to come from its tribal peoples. Because the white Europeans have had their run, and they've kind of fucked things up real good.
They fucked things up real good. And
brought to you by capitalism.
Yeah.
Brought to you by monarchy.
I just don't know what to think, because it's like a county ahead of me is being mined for fracking sands. And, you know, there's all kinds of diseases like silicosis.
Yeah, go down to Eau Claire, and it's completely out of hand down there. There's a little community called New Auburn or something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean they've got frac sand terminals where the trains are just lined up as far as the eye can see. And the thing is, they blast to get that stuff the same way they blast for mountaintop removal. So you're getting the blasting dust, and you're getting the ultrafine particulates, and give it about 10, 15 years, and you're going to have the same cancer clusters there that we've got here in southern West Virginia.
Yeah. And it's just evil. It's just, I wish...
Because money.
I wish there was something we could do as residents, as citizens. It's just frightening, really. It really is frightening. And I really hope that people wise up and just revolt against this, because it's just so evil.
Flavio, it all starts individually. If we all wait around for somebody else to go and protest, if we all wait around for somebody else to go and demonstrate, it won't happen.
You've got a point. Yeah.
But it's been a wonderful conversation, and I hope we will talk soon, Flavio. You be well and stay warm.
Yeah, no, it's not as bad as out east.
I can't imagine that being true, knowing where you are, but, you know.
No, it's actually it's pretty warm right now. It's, according to the app on my computer, it's 20 degrees outside Fahrenheit.
Oh, okay, let me tell you what we've got outside here. Hang on, because right now it's dropped to 46 here in the studio. It's 18 outside. It's 18 on the way to 12, but tomorrow's low is 9. Wednesday's low is minus 6. Thursday's low is minus 17.
Hey, Wednesday we got 38. I'm wearing my shorts.
Rub it in.
Take good care, brother.
Well, get out to Kachaka and make something that we'd all enjoy back here.
Yeah, I'm making some chili tonight.
Okay, I was thinking more about that raw sugarcane moonshine that comes from Brazil.
I love you, man.
All right, be good, Flavio. Take care.
Take good care.
Bye. Yeah, minus 17. I don't remember minus 17 up here. I've been here for a while. And I think we've got, and this is by no means any sort of a competition with what the folks up in Boston and New England are having to put up with. They've got something, let's see, Lottie says in the chat room about 6 to 7 feet. We got 1 foot here. And the roads are a mess. And Berg and I are down to our last 4 bottles of propane. Could get interesting, but among other things, well, let's keep it all rolling here. Hey, News Ninja Carol Baker.
Hey, neighbor, I haven't gotten to talk to you in a couple of weeks.
It has been a while, has it not?
It has. Hey, listen, I've got people on Facebook asking for the number for the gizmo line.
Okay.
I'm going to have it tattooed on me somewhere, I swear.
Okay. just right under the bangs, maybe, on the forehead? Or?
No, I was thinking of some place that would be far more interesting. Because I'm a giver.
And, of course, the gizmo line, I really didn't give it out because it just kind of, the program just, the conversation just started rolling kind of organically, but it's 304-663-4676. We got somebody on there right now, but hopefully we'll have plenty of time to talk this evening.
Excellent.
And that's 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N.
There you go. Your fans were Facebooking me, so.
The members of our community, yes. I don't have fans.
Oh. Well, I was thinking more my fans than yours.
Okay, your fans. You've got fans. I don't have fans.
I have minions.
Yeah, precisely. we have congregants.
Yes, that is true, because this is, you know, the church of what's happening now.
Amen. Glory.
Yes. I don't know why I always laugh when they do that.
Because it's fun.
It is fun. It is absolutely fun. So, you got yourself a bomb train at the base of the mountain.
Ain't it fun?
No.
Oh, and by the way, the goddess of irony doesn't miss a lick. The bomb train went off directly across the river from Boomer.
Listen, we were talking about that in the chat room, and I said, the goddess of irony never sleeps. They're evacuating Boomer?
Yes. Lower Boomer.
Well.
I never knew that there was a lower Boomer and an upper Boomer because you just kind of go and you're gone through Boomer at 40 miles an hour because it's one long speed trap down through there. But yeah,
well, yeah, because I live in Lesser Hooterville and Greater Hooterville is just 5 miles up the road.
Exactly.
And I have to go through Greater Hooterville in order to get to the interstate highway. And right through the middle of Greater Hooterville is a railroad track where we get stopped. Every day. I mean, traffic goes through and backs up traffic every day. Last week, on my way to work, I counted 83 of those oil cars.
Yeah, the rolling bombs.
The rolling bombs going through the center of Greater Hooterville. No way that I'm going to sit here and be the first person in line. Mm-mm. I've gotten to the point now that whenever those trains roll through, Bob, I do a U-turn and go wait at the far end of town. And I know the pressure wave's still going to hit me there, but at least I'm not going to be, you know, vaporized.
And I mean, I'll leave it to the engineers to figure out what the explosive force of how many gallons of those. Oh, my God.
Well, it's pretty bad. I don't know. There's like, it's probably about, I don't know, 20 years or so ago, there was a big explosion in Kansas City, and it was something that was purposely set, and a bunch of firefighters died. And the concussion from that blast was felt all the way from Kansas City to Green Valley, and Green Valley's got to be 14 miles. Shook people's houses in Green Valley.
Well, and remember, here in West by Coal, Virginia, Stan, what was it? A couple of weeks ago, we had a pipeline go up.
Yeah, well, yeah, but.
And what I honest to God don't understand, Carol,
yeah,
is how does this shit happen, and people just look and go, well, I mean, yeah, it happened.
Well,
I mean, is this Stockholm syndrome with banjo music? What?
It kind of is, actually, because I sit here and I look at these people getting hurt by these environmental policies and everything else, and these are the people that are embracing the pure capitalism and the teabaggers and the don't tread on me and all the rest of that crap.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
No, I just think of those. I think of those funny versions of that flag every time.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Sorry for the background noise.
That's okay. Yeah. Don't read to me.
I have a hound demanding to be let out.
Understood. I presume Cat Stevens is behaving himself.
He is now. He's asleep on top of her crate in my office. He's been out several times a day, and he really despises snow.
But, well, Miss Kitty has no interest in it whatsoever. She said, screw it. And I mean, and she's kind of persnickety. She doesn't like to go anywhere that bothers her whiskers. And
really?
She said, fuck it, I'm getting under the covers, and I'm not coming out.
No, he only gets under the covers at night. When I go to bed, he's off sleeping somewhere, and as soon as I get nestled into my little bed, he's got his fat butt right in there, cheek to cheek, looking at the iPad like he understands every word, and I'm afraid he does.
Probably does.
But yeah, he chased me through the snow this morning until he got mad, and I finally let him back in.
Chastened, I'm sure.
Not really.
No.
We're talking about Mr. Attitude here. But, no, I just, I think about that, and I was looking at that. I was looking how, well, you know, the state of Utah, the crux of, you know, morals and values has reinstituted the firing squad.
Because bullets are cheaper than poison.
You know, and that, oh, I mean, those botched executions are just so inhumane, she says with a snarky look on her face.
Oh, absolutely. And, well, but look, it's Utah, and if anything, Utah has a history of proving that it can shoot guns real good. Mountain Meadows comes to mind.
Well, that is true, but...
So you could probably just take four or five folks in Utah right off the street, hand them the rifles. One of them's got a blank in it, and they'll hit literally dead center, most every one of them.
Probably right, and that's just grandma.
Yeah, that's just the women folk.
That's right. Fascinating.
Oh, you know,
but,
forget it, Jake. It's Utah, Stan.
Yeah, exactly. And then, oh, let's see, what else is going on? I don't know. I just watch all the freaks. You know, I enjoyed Saturday Night Live last night.
I thought it had its cute moments.
It did. But the aftermath today of, you know, Sarah Palin was such a victim. She got heckled.
Why was she there?
Well, because she's such a huge part of it. For 6 months.
Well, she was there to be the punchline of a joke.
Yeah, and she was there to be the same punchline of the joke last night. My favorite picture, I think, was of Taylor Swift having to sit next to her, rolling her eyes. I mean, let's face it, how disgusting do you have to be for Taylor Swift to roll her eyes at you? Think about that one.
Mercy. But it was great to see Dan Aykroyd reprise the Bass-O-Matic.
I loved it. And it was even funnier because when he stuffed too many fish in it, it wouldn't work at the end. And I was like, that's the beauty of live TV.
And Jane Curtin's little one-liner was precious.
About the blondes on, about yeah. being the only blonde on television.
The only blonde
news.
Reporting fake news. And somehow managing to show less cleavage.
Yeah.
I guess because it was edgy enough, it didn't get repeated on a lot of the for-profit channels. But my personal favorite was in the Jeopardy sketch.
Yeah.
When Burt Reynolds was trying to remember who all was, who the central character of Mark Twain's Tom Sawyer was.
Yeah, I can't remember that guy. It was an N, N. It
began
N,
with an N. Right. And then the Video Daily Double.
Yes, and Bill Cosby.
My favorite drink, yeah.
No. We recorded that back in June. Stop the tape. No, it was pretty priceless. And, you know, and it just, on the other hand, I was sitting there looking at it going, God, am I old? Because I was there from the very beginning. I just remember being in high school and everybody was glued to it. And then, of course, our local news station tried to ban it because it was such a terrible influence on our youth.
Right.
They were right. We learned to be free thinkers.
Yeah. And, well, Gilda.
We all became suffering Republicans.
Right. Well, I mean, I try to explain the early years of Saturday Night Live to my kids, and they're like, what? Because they think Andy Samberg is funny.
Ugh.
And maybe he is. I don't know.
No, he's not. The only person in recent years who has been able to make me just completely lose my shit was Bill Hader doing Stefan.
He's good. Of course, you know, stuff that I thought was relatively recent has just run right by. And I think some sort of switch got flipped in me, Carol. Back in the 90s or something, because I remember a spot, oh, what was it, Lives of the Cowboys or something, with Garth Brooks sitting around a fire.
Yes.
And the rest of them are talking about how tough it is to be a cowboy, and, you know, the wind and the rain and the snow and the saddle sores. And he said, you know, the toughest part of being a cowboy for me is when they lift you up on that fly wire and they fly you out over the crowd and you're worried about what... That was funny, and there was a skit on that same episode called, it was one of those famous game show skits called Old Dead Whore. And what was the other, and Robert Duvall on a game show skit called Grizzled Old Men. I'm sorry, sir, that's wistful, not grizzled. Damn it.
I think the reason I've been such a fan of the Jeopardy skits has been because it's when you watch him, the Sean Connery character, interacting with the Alex Trebek character, it's sort of a microcosm of what it's like for a liberal trying to educate a Democrat or to get them to understand a basic concept.
Oh, nice comparison. Like,
they just sit and fucking troll you.
I'll take the tits now.
Yes, and instead of the third, I'll take the rapist for 200, Alex. That's not the rapist, it's the therapist.
and who was that that did Justin Bieber last night, because she had him down to his science.
That woman, I can never remember her name. I can never.
Was that Kristen Wiig?
No.
No.
I don't think so. Is it Kristen Wiig? Come on, chat room people, you know.
Internet latency. It'll catch up.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, they're good. They're really good. They're really good. I just had a whole bunch of time sitting there watching it, feeling old.
Yeah, and the Wayne's World digs on Kanye were fun.
Oh, you can never go wrong with Mike Myers and Dana Carvey.
And I love the fact that they managed to get the fan to blow directly on Maya's hair and not on Martin Short's hair when she was doing Beyonce.
The other part that I really liked was that stretch where they were showing all of their clips for when they the audition.
Oh yeah,
that was awesome. And how many of the characters that they did actually became skits?
And going back to the Jeopardy skit, Jim Carrey as Matthew McConaughey.
All right. Did you actually tape a voiceover for this? That was brilliant. That was just brilliant. But, I've been trying to keep up with the news as much as I can, but I've been working and the weather and family matters, and it just all seems to snowball on me.
Oh, I understand completely. I'll be honest, over the week, you know, this was the weekend that I was really, really hoping to get some serious work done here in the studio and get the new mixer in line and get the Mac in line to it and everything. I got a confession to make. I didn't.
Kidding.
It was just not warm enough back here. And so I was lazy. What can I say? I spent a lot of the weekend under the covers.
I actually slept one whole day this weekend.
It's not such a bad thing.
I didn't realize how sleep-deprived I had been for so long. When my sister says, I took one look at your face and knew not to call you, and then I slept for like 13 hours straight, and I woke up feeling like I had a hangover without having anything to drink, which kind of sucks and isn't fair. But, hey, it was what it was. But I will catch up. I remember thinking that I was spending too much time watching the news. I was spending too much time obsessing over politics and over the issues of the day. I got to tell you, Bob, when it comes to dealing with your family, those were the good old days when I obsessed over politics and that was all I worried about.
And that's, it does sort of put things in perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And yeah. It's not fun having your parents age and to have to take care of them and figure out how to take care of them as best you can. It becomes even more complicated when you have so many children in your family that you were not just one of the kids, but part of a litter. Because everybody's got their opinion on how things should be, and I never appreciated how lucky Dad was for dying so young.
The way that this country generally, I've rethought that. I think I'm going to start saying when I say this country, I think I'm going to say this empire.
Yeah.
The way this crumbling empire treats its elderly is A, shameful, and B, terrifying.
It is absolutely terrifying when you when you have a genuine concern about the welfare and the well-being of a senior citizen, and every agency that you talk to, you run into a, meh, I've seen worse. Okay,
yeah,
I don't
care. See, that's not supposed to be the standard.
Yeah.
It's all supposed to be judged on a case-by-case basis, not in comparison with whether you've seen worse or not, caseworker.
So.
And, the well-being of the individual in question is supposed to be the standard. And it just, it doesn't happen.
So it has been a long, exhausting road, and I'm a long way from done, and it's going to be a while. And I think the thing that I find the most terrifying is worrying about whether or not I'm going to get Alzheimer's, you know?
Yeah.
Because nobody really knows if it's hereditary or if it's, you know. And it is the most awful thing to watch somebody go through. So I'm not, I know I've been out of it, and I still feel like I'm in a fog. Like I can't form a cogent thought. Like I can't follow a train of.
Don't say train.
And carry through with it. And that's not like me. But I just feel brain dead. And then I really worry about the Alzheimer's.
Well, don't be surprised. That's a stress reaction.
Yeah.
Not sure. That I play a psychologist on the radio, but I just happen to have had a few of them myself. And
hey, it's good enough for Rand Paul, goddammit.
And you will feel better as soon as, what are we at, 32 days to spring now?
Yeah. Yeah, but last year we didn't have any snow up until right about now, and then it snowed until probably May 20th. And, I mean, it was just one storm after another, so.
Well, that's one of those things that I've pointed out relative to climate change, is that I think part of climate change is what I refer to as the shifting of the seasons. It's like the calendar's out of whack.
The calendar is out of whack.
And, you know, Sparky's seeing it now out in California. He was hoping to get some lawn mowing or something done, I think, this weekend.
Are you kidding me?
No. Stuff is blooming.
God.
And, yeah, okay. But meanwhile, it is still the dead of winter. And I've seen ugliness way up into March. I've seen snow in May in this state. It's out of whack. And we've had hardly any snow at all. Probably not 5-6 inches through the winter here until now. And now we're getting it all in one lump payment.
Yeah, that's how it happened here last year. And you just get tired of having to call into work saying, I can't get dug out.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you're being told in the chat room to eat a lot of Indian food with cumin in it.
Why?
Because it's good for your brain.
Well, and it'll keep people away.
No, that's garlic.
No.
That only keeps vampires and Republicans away.
Oh, cumin. Cumin. Okay. Sorry, I thought they said curry.
Well, cumin is an essential ingredient in curry.
Well, cumin is okay. I can handle cumin, but curry, woo, mama. Just.
Well, I'm a fiery guy. I like that brutal hot curry. In fact, I'm thinking about it now.
You and I, all our conversations, all no matter what, devolve
go back to food. Absolutely, food porn.
They do.
Food porn. I just got this. GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, here in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Gert has confirmed that this was, in fact, Bakken crude.
Yeah, I read that. I read that. He's right on top of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, they did say shut her down as far as the water supply. So, yeah, nothing like not being able to have, I mean, it's bad enough when the water freezes.
Yeah.
But, the river caught fire. It's like that old Australian ABC skit where the two guys, wow, the front fell off.
Yeah.
The river caught fire.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done a lot of stupid things to our state here, Carol. But the river caught fire. And again, maybe it's just because I'm me and I'm here. But I'm wondering when somebody in the news is going to say, and by the way, this train was getting ready to go through a national park.
They're not going to say that.
And I guess I get to be, because I'm, and you know, after 10 years I should be used to it, I get to be the only guy who says, what happens when one of these damn things blows up under the New River Gorge Bridge?
Well, we'll just have to wait until that happens.
Meanwhile, Carol,
yeah.
the Fayette County Convention and Visitors Bureau has instituted a fingerprint check for everybody who wants to jump off the bridge with a parachute on Bridge Day next October. Everybody has to be, because one of those might be an ISIS headlopper come to cut the head off of somebody on the way down in a parachute, okay? Because you can never be too careful. And a whole bunch of the base jumpers who are kind of a free-spirited, you know, not particularly in love with the massive national security state types, they said, well, okay, screw it, we're not coming. F your festival. And they are, of course, what the entire Bridge Day thing is built around. It's the largest single-day festival in the state of West Virginia. 100,000 people out on this bridge. Mm-hmm. I know. What are the odds that one of those trains would, sure. Yeah, do you think the national security and bridge security and convention and visitors bureaus, could we make sure there's no Bakken crude trains rolling through here tomorrow? Well, hell no. That's business. But no, I guess I get to be the only one who wonders what happens when, because why not?
Bob, you know how you talk about how you don't take corporate sponsorships because you don't want people telling you what to say on your show?
Well, that's true.
It's kind of like that. That's why you're the only one talking about it.
Oh.
These news organizations, they're not going to send it. In the first place, they've been so decimated financially that they don't have investigative reporters anymore. So now they're simply reduced to issuing press releases from the RNC and ALEC.
Right.
That's all they do. They read press releases.
And that's why all
this kerfuffle about Brian Williams, I'm sitting there laughing, going, my God, everybody lied about the Iraq War. Nobody did their homework. Nobody checked into it.
Oh, I was so proud of myself. I got an absolute boo-coo of retweets on my observation that if Rand Paul had been a network news anchor instead of a mere lowly member of the United States Senate, he might be held to account for lying about his educational qualifications. I think I got more than 50 on that. That may be the highest I've ever gotten.
I was actually quite stunned at his childish prank with Hillary's fake Pinterest account.
Well, that's where I was going. So what all did he put on there? Rand Paul put up a fake, Rand Paul's people put up a fake Pinterest account for Hillary Clinton.
It was all about how she would decorate the White House, and it had a Benghazi Valentine's Day card on it. There was just a whole bunch of disgusting shit.
Oh, dear God. Well, that's okay, though, because Rand Paul now has a Pinterest account, doesn't he?
He does. And I wonder how it got there.
The magic eight ball stuck. Answer hazy. Ask again later.
And, oh, hang on, let me just pop this up on the iPad. Oh, let's see. Oh, it's filled with, oh, he's got a board called My Favorite Plagiarism Resources. The Bible. He says, I stole this one from Senator Ted Cruz's office. Teehee. Get Your Shit Together. They were handing these out at the RNC conference. No one seemed interested in reading it. They're all like Cliff's Notes. Oh, look, fiscal Cliff's Notes. Spoiler alert, all the poor people die in the end. Yes, it's a comedy.
Jeez.
Let's see, what else does he get? Oops, I didn't mean to add this one. Step up your slang. I'm slogging through this invaluable resource for when I'm forced to campaign in, quote, urban areas. Wink, wink.
Urban. Urban. Right.
Yeah.
By the way, you have a note coming in from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan.
Yes.
She said, if time permits, please tell Carol I empathize. I moved back to Kansas to help with elderly parents. I watched my father go through Alzheimer's, and it took my brother, sister, mother, and I working in unison, often from a distance, to ensure that his final years were the best they could be. It would have been a disaster had we not all pulled together with his best interests at heart. I wish Carol and her family the best. Also, I'm very sorry about another mess in West Virginia.
Thank you, Diane. With love.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Well, Carol, dear.
Yes, and I just want people to know they can find Rand Paul's, it's under Aqua Buddha 2016. He says, a true libertarian, love pure capitalism and catchphrases like freedom, tyranny, and jackbooted thugs. I'm running for president in 2016. Dating supplies, it's a mobile rape kit. Look. My Favorite Diploma Mills. Oh, and hair products. He's got.
There has to be hair products.
Yes. For when you're trying to tame the wild animal who lives on your head and you have to be more creative than a Donald Trump bed comb over.
Beautiful.
So, Aqua Buddha 2016 on Pinterest, and that's Rand Paul's. That's Rand Paul's Pinterest account. So. Turns out that was quite the double-edged sword for him.
Yeah, jump onto Pinterest if you're a member and follow Aqua Buddha 2016.
Yeah, because I understand there's going to be lots of new stuff coming up.
Well, he's a very interesting man.
He's a giver.
To paraphrase Bugs Bunny, if an interesting libertarian can't have an interesting hairdo. I don't know what this world's coming to. I was just telling my girlfriend the other day, bobby pins, please. Oh, that's never going to hold. You're going to need a permanent in an end. Yes. Well, enjoy the fact that you're back home.
Stay
as warm as you possibly can. I guess you're going to get hit with this crazy, minus 20 shit before it hits me, right?
Absolutely, but we're sending it your way because we're givers.
And you know what? In this case, I wish to hell you weren't.
Sorry.
I've been walking around humming Jimmy Buffett lyrics for about a week now. I mean, I can remember in the Caribbean, you know, that perfect aquamarine turquoise color to the water, the white sands, white me. Was out in the sun without a hat on Grand Turk for about 2 hours, and I looked like Christopher Pike, you know, just beep, 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 you know, from the radiation accident. Spent the rest of the week with my face falling off. There went my cheekbones again. But I keep, oh, yeah, I want to be down. I want a hollowed out coconut shell with something with a whole load of rum in it and an umbrella stuck in the top. And a hat. And a really cheesy luau shirt, I think.
Ooh, good call. And I'll be sending you a recipe.
Yes.
By the way, for some hillbilly hooch.
Mmm.
Yes, it is. It's got like coconut rum and vodka and strawberries and.
Oh, be still my heart.
Oh, yeah. And you serve it in mason jars, but I'm going to be making it with crushed ice so that it's sort of a frozen concoction.
Exactly, exactly. This morning I shot 6 holes in my freezer. I think I've got cabin fever. Somebody sound the alarm.
Yeah. I'm just getting ready. Barbie's going to come spend the summer with me, so.
Oh, fun.
Yes, we're just getting things ready.
So you can do that. You'll be able to do the Betty Rubble laugh in chorus.
Seriously, you're going to get the fabulous Baker girls, you know, like in stereo.
Awesome. Carol, have a wonderful and warm evening.
You too, amigos. Thanks
my best regards to your boss, Cat Stevens.
Why, thank you. I will be sure to tell him. He just clawed my leg.
Take care, Carol.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye now.
Bye.
News Ninja Carol Baker from the frozen heart of Hooterville. Let's keep it rolling. Go over to the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
The education you guys demonstrate is pretty spectacular.
How so?
Well, you're getting all that white snow, and this is going to get a nice little rimy crust of black, so it'll melt quicker. I mean, they planned it just perfectly, you know. We'll put a train, and it'll melt the snow. How's that for a plan?
You know what? You can't escape the logic of it, can you, John? By the way, Gerald just pointed out to me, he said, you can rest assured now that the light in the top of the Capitol building is on, that GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, has declared the Mount Carbon derailment a state of emergency.
Well, if they poison the water enough times, they'll get it right.
Yeah, and of course, this is upstream, not down. This is upstream from several communities that draw their drinking water out of the Kanawha River, which I find, knowing the Kanawha River, I find kind of horrifying in the first place.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's capitalism for you. Privatize the profits and externalize the costs. You know, it's
ding, ding, ding.
Very fascinating conversation with the various and sundry people I talk to on a regular basis. It's kind of fun to try to educate them on the fact that, you know, that dollar cheeseburger, if you actually looked at all the costs of the health care that goes into it, and what it's going to cost you for all the stuff they put into it, and all the waste and the paper and everything, that cheeseburger costs like, you know, $9-$10 in reality. But, you know, you can't get that through anybody's head. That's science stuff. That's that education. That's
demons.
You know? Yeah. It's not even close to it. You know? It's like, you know, it bothers me. I mean, you know, this is now the second one in a fairly recent window of time frame. You would think that there would be more outrage, but I've been on, you know, I'm sitting at a truck stop now, and I'm on the little computer thingy here and using my two-finger typey, and, it's very, very limited compared to what happened for the Charleston leak. I guess now, because it's happened more than once, the shock factor's not there anymore or something.
I don't think that's it. It's just, honest to God, I'm not kidding. When I say it's Stockholm, when it's Stockholm syndrome with a banjo soundtrack, I'm not kidding. We've gotten to where, you ever seen an old dog with a really, really, really bad owner that's kind of abusive, and the dog just expects to be kicked? That's us.
Yeah.
That's us. Well, of course the bomb train blew up in the freezing cold. That's us. But the sad thing, is, not a damn thing will be done about it, John.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would surprise me a bit if you got a little bit of ice and something on the tracks, and the engineer took it around the corner too quick or something, and next thing you know, it's off the tracks, and, you know, but that kind of investigation might expose the rail company's liability, so Your governor will just quietly let it pass to the side, and act of God or weather related, that it's probably the best time for it to happen with all the storm and everything, because then they can just blame the weather. You know, unexpected icy conditions or something like that.
Right, but the thing is, even, and I was looking at the story from Metro News, and understand that here in West Virginia, Metro News is a news outlet that is just to the right of Generalissimo Francisco Franco. And it's owned by a guy that might as well be a fascist, John Racy. And they actually published that Bakken crude is extremely volatile and dangerous to transport by rail. Because there's no getting around that fact. Carol was talking about seeing the bomb trains roll through Hooterville. Well, they're rolling through all kinds of little towns all over the United States, and hardly a soul knows what they were or are. But they're big and black, and they look like bombs. But there's nothing written on them that says bomb train.
Well, it's proprietary information. You know, that's, you know, I work in the trucking industry, and they got a thing called CPAT, and I probably misattached the name, but it's a Customs Protection and Anti-Terrorism, I think, some kind of, and, you know, about half the companies out there, if you call their number, they'll proudly announce that they are a proud member of in anti-terrorism, and one of the requirements of that is that if you were to inquire what was on a lot of trucks or trains or any of the stuff in the transportation industry, that's just proprietary information. It's security information. It's now, you know, you saw a little town that wants to know what's going through your town? I don't know. I'm hoping not, but I would suspect that, you know, getting that information is not going to be as easy as it used to be.
Oh, no. No.
They don't want you to know what's on their trains.
And John, I hate myself for thinking about the things I think about. But one of those things, and again, it's not ISIS. It used to be, when I was talking about Bridge Day earlier, it used to be that on Bridge Day, they would shut down one side of the bridge. It would be, let's see, north to south. So they would shut down the two eastern lanes of the bridge and keep the traffic flowing two lane on the western two lanes of the bridge. That after September 11th, 2001, we shut the bridge down altogether, and because we were afraid that Osama bin Laden with his, you know, portable dialysis machine might jump in the Toyota and come and decide to blow up the New River Gorge Bridge because, you know, we're that important. And like I said, the next one, everybody that wants to jump off the bridge is going to have to give a fingerprint scan. Meanwhile, what happens when one of these goddamn trains is going through and decides to go kaboom?
But they're not going to say anything about that. That's, like you said, that's, you know, some company, and it's one of the provisions of, it's in fact one of the provisions of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's one of the provisions that if a government were to pass any type of legislation which would increase the costs of doing business on a particular set of transactions, then that government would be subject to a lawsuit by the company for the projected profit that they would lose. So if a local community said, well, you can't bring that, and we'll use the example for today's incident, you can't bring that explosive crap through our town, they'll say okay, and they'll take it to a tribunal that's the proposed international tribunal, which would then assess it, and it's all by corporate lawyers and stuff that rotate on a three-year rotational basis. They would examine it, and then they would turn around and make a judgment, and being mostly corporate lawyers, you can pretty well guess that it's going to be, hey, little town, you either lift your restriction or you pay us X number of millions of dollars a year for our lost profits and increased costs. And
well, and let's remember there's another factor at work here too, and that is that the railroads are federally regulated. And so if the railroads are told that they have to carry this crap, they have to carry this crap. Even if they don't want to, because they're a common carrier.
Yep.
And so West Virginia can't even pass a law about it. The most we could say is, would you mind not maybe running these things through a national park? But if the teabagger controlled federal government says, well, hell, if we have our way, we'll run through all the national parks. Freedom! Ain't a damn thing to be done about it.
No, well, it's going to get worse. I read an interesting article today and had a few conversations with a few friends of mine in D.C. Now, to wrap this up properly, you have to cast your mind back over the last 6-7 years. The filibuster of the Senate that the Republicans used absolutely ruthlessly ever since Barack Obama got in office. I mean, they filibustered everything, but are you going to clean the kitchen sink? Filibuster! But then they finally, in this last session, they finally pushed through a modest, very modest reform. Well, John Boehner today made an announcement that under pressure from his quote-unquote Tea Party caucus is now going to push McConnell over the Homeland Security budget. They are dead set and determined now. They're going to hold that sucker up and defund, whatever they call it, defund Homeland Security. Of course, being essential personnel, they'll still have to come to work, even though they won't get paid, or at least their pay will be deferred. And Boehner says and he's basically telling McConnell that you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to eliminate the filibuster so that we can now push through anything we want.
Freedom.
If it goes the way the projection is starting to go, this next couple of years is going to be poor Barack Obama is going to be standing at the gates vetoing. He's only vetoed like 3 laws in the last 6 years. I bet you he's going to be up to the 50s or 60s by the time he leaves office. Because these guys are dead set and determined. They are absolutely dead set and determined. They want to pass if the Supreme Court doesn't do it, and the rats, as you call them, they don't do the thing that they've been told to do, then Congress is already set up for a repeal of Obamacare, and they want to get rid of the filibuster so the Democrats can't stop, at least going through the first time. Then he gets vetoed by Obama so that they can all point to him and as you so amazingly call him, so that Kenny, who's your slipper,
yeah,
will be painted. I mean, he'll be painted with the red stripe for the rest of his presidency. The man's gonna be basically playing defense. And from what I've understood, from what I'm seeing it, holy crap. I just saw a trucker that by with the Jetson flag painted right on his freaking
tanker. Oh, dear God.
Tanker. Holy moly. It's almost as bad as the trucks I see with the, John 316. And I'm like, why did he put that on a commercial vehicle? I have no clue. But anyway, like I said, if that stuff goes through, then you're going to see just nothing but an absolute torrent of crazy crap coming out of Congress. I mean, everything. I mean, the banks have gotten what they
want. No. It will be absolute madness.
It'll be absolute madness. And I have a friend of mine that he lived in Europe up until about 2 months ago. And he came back here, and he said, I hadn't been paying attention much to what was going on. He said, I come back, and you can tell from my voice that he's a Southern fellow, but he's good folk. He said, I come back, and I don't think this is the United States anymore. I go, what do you mean? He says, y'all got some fucked up people in this shit around here. He said it, and the accent, I was like, I started laughing. I said, man, I said, you don't see this over in Germany, where you at? And he goes, nah, over there, they actually talk to each other. Y'all just yell.
Yep.
I just laughed. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm like that with your first caller there. I feel very bad for the people. I mean, you know, it's one thing to happen in the middle of summer or something. Like, I think the last one was fairly warm weather to happen. But, you know, guy and his wife's in the hospital. His house is now burned. He has to go to the hospital. And I mean, you know, now maybe, yeah, chances are he's going
to
go and get.
But that's a small price to pay for the. That's a small price to pay, isn't it, John, for the free market and freedom?
I mean, it's like that conversation I had earlier today. I mean, if you sit down there, go to Walmart right now, you pull something off the shelf, a third of the cost of what you're buying is packaging and stuff about that product that does you no good whatsoever, but you're going to pay for it. The fact is, in this plastic thing that I hate those things, man. It's like I take my knife out, and my knife won't even cut through this plastic. It's so tough. Listen, it's a security measure for customer theft. I said the thing costs $1.99. You know, how much money are you losing if you get a few stolen? But you got me sitting here having to take a damn chainsaw out to freaking open a package up for whatever the hell it was I was buying at the time. But, I mean, so it can be packaged properly, transported properly, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these different costs. Now, granted, you know, I make a little bit of a living off of all this frivolousness. I mean, if people ran economies like they had some sense, a lot of this stuff would be made locally. It wouldn't be made by, you know, John Tang in China in some little village, you know, on the Yangtze River or something. But it's just ridiculous. But, you know, it's like, you know, it's the same thing with this crude, this Bakken crude and stuff coming through. You know, they actually have actuaries. I remember a famous movie case that was with Aaron Brockovich. They sat there and, you know, the bean counters would actually say it was, well, let's see, we expect X number of people to get cancer, and we'll get a certain number of lawsuits to muck, pay out a certain amount of money, but it's cheaper than going and reworking our entire system to forestall the cancers itself. And your mountaintop and little guys are going to do the same thing. They've got an actuary sitting in some office somewhere, you know.
They never set off the first charge without having figured out the cost of doing business when they, you know, when they get busted and have to pay a fine for poisoning the water, or if they should happen to get if something should happen to go wrong and a couple of workers die or 30, you know, they've got that all figured out.
Yeah.
And that's one of the shocking things about all of this stuff, John, is that it is profitable even after you have factored that in. You know, it's cost benefit analysis. It's the exploding Pinto. You know, Ford Motor Company decided it was cheaper to blow a few American families up in a Pinto than it was to re-engineer the Pinto so it doesn't blow up.
Yeah. I mean, this reflects back to a conversation we had earlier. I mean, in this country, you know, I don't care what the Bible thumpers say. I don't care what the hair pullers and what do you call them, the strychnine swallowers and floorers. No. They worship a green altar with a picture of some, you know, some fat belly green Buddha looking guy holding a dollar bill on, you know, on his belly. That's what they worship.
Yeah.
And, you know, when corporations can run around claiming their people, and yet, you know, they have to confab, well, I think we talked about this a little bit back a week ago. They just had an article, I think it was in Daily Kos or TPM. But that a more in-depth breakdown. And the 300 or so people that showed up at this confab that you had, that one couple from Texas, I think, was invited when we talked about them.
Yes.
They raised a little bit over $900 million. And we're still 2 freaking years away from, a little less than 2 years away from the election. About another year and some change before things start really.
We are, okay, let us pinpoint this in time. We are a year away from the Iowa and New Hampshire caucus, Iowa caucuses, the New Hampshire primary, and the South Carolina primary. And at this point in time, Republican voters surveyed in those three states show a distinct preference in Iowa and New Hampshire, and we kind of, and you know, South Carolina is always going to be an outlier. Whoever curries the favor of the Klan will win in South Carolina. But Jeb Bush and Scott Walker are neck and neck right now in New Hampshire and Iowa. And the reason this matters, or the reason that I argue that this matters, John, is that Scott Walker, by virtue of managing to not get indicted, even though everybody, apparently all the way back to the first time he ever sat on Santa's knee as a child, Santa's been indicted. Everybody around him's been indicted. But so far, he has fended him off. And, you know, I said a couple of years ago that if Scott Walker managed to survive the gubernatorial recall and then got himself reelected governor of Wisconsin, it was going to make him a bit of a juggernaut. Now this guy's no genius, and he's dangerous as hell, but the thing that makes him viable as a candidate is that he has Charles and David Koch's backing. And as far as I can tell, yeah, Jebby don't.
I technically live around Henderson in Vegas, and the in-house line in Vegas right now is that Scott Walker is actually favored to win the election as of right now. And that's, you know, when I did the conversations with people back there, I just had my hometown a couple of days ago, and I was sitting up in there and talking to some people, and they were like, yeah, we've crunched the numbers, and unless a wild card comes playing in, more than likely, Scott Walker's going to win. And he won't do by much. It's going to be one of those, you know, it's going to be those deals where, you know, right now, the most likely Democratic favorite, of course, is Hillary Clinton. And a lot of people are going to have, you know, it's part of the same problem that Bush has.
Well, remember, there's a whole bunch of the so-called left. What left? That's going to say, God damn Hillary Clinton, she's a baby-killing murderer, and I'm going to go vote for a pure candidate like Ralph Nader.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, President Walker.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's all they really have to do. If you've got the kind of money and the media savvy that's going to be available for Walker, you know, it's, you know, this upcoming election is going to be a nasty fest, because
I'm going to enjoy watching the hell among the yearlings, as the Ted Cruz's and Rand Paul's and Scott Walker's and Jebby Bush's, and, you know, run Ben Carson, run. Run, proud libertarian son of Johns Hopkins. Run, Ben, run. And some of these, Chris Christie, stand not upon the order of your going, but you know, run at once. Well, okay, Chris, walk. I want them all in. Sarah Palin, run, Sarah, run. Michelle Bachmann, please. And wow, but no, they may beat each other up. But I find the idea I find the idea of Scott Walker as a nominee far more terrifying than I do of Jeb Bush.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I mean, Jeb Bush.
And a Scott Walker, Joni Ernst ticket. I mean, you live in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Or near Vegas.
That's exactly.
You could probably take a fin and walk into a little parlor and just say, hey, whatever odds you're given, I got a $5 bill on the that says the Republican ticket is Scott Walker and Joni Ernst. You jump in right now, it might pay 20,000 to one. Who knows?
No, actually, the Scott Walker, Joni Ernst is running at 5 to 2 right now.
No shit.
5 to 2.
I'd take it.
The reason why they're taking it is that they think. Don't know if it's true or not. Like I said, I'm no longer a big gambler like I used to be. I don't have the money anymore. But the bet is that the name Clinton, of course, have a lot of support with the Democratic regulars. The idea is she's a woman is going to also, you know, be a strong push. And the idea that, well, she's kind of, and there's going to be, even though it won't be said, but there's still kind of still a little bit of a nagging feeling out there that maybe she got cheated because of Barack Obama in the last round. So there'll be a lot of, you know, this is our chance to make up for that. We can vote for him. We can vote for her now because there's not going to be a minority guy running that we can be the history makers. We can be history makers again. But you've got enough people. That, this again, like I said, this is what Bush's problem is. People are tired of the name Bush and Clinton. They've been hearing that in those names for the better part of 20 years now. And one way to bleed off a small but maybe significant portion of the women vote would be to hand play the Sarah Palin card, but play it with somebody who. Pig castrator or not, maybe can tap some of that that hometown I'm a country girl tap like Palin did back when she was nominated before she opened her mouth. And I listened to her, so I listened to a recording of her speech here, the recent Republican thing, and I swear to God, I think she was high. She had to have been. They run in strong, and he be what? And I'm going,
yeah, just start speaking, Martian.
No, I was like, can I have some of that shit? We got to be good. We got to be good.
I didn't know it was legal here.
Wow. I was like, you know, I hate to say this, and I'm going to say it anyway, but part of me actually feels sorry for her. I suspect that there are days that she wakes up, looks in the mirror, and has those momentary what-ifs. What if I had just kept my damn mouth shut, or read the cue cards, or listened to what the people were telling me that I could be today? I decided those regrets, I got a feeling those things have got to be haunting that woman so bad. See, I mean, the brass ring was right there.
No, I'm sorry. John, are you telling me you think there are dim, dark moments when she does the whole on the waterfront? It could have been a contender thing.
Yeah, I suspect it could have been a contender thing going on. Because, I mean, you know, I rub shoulders with enough people in government. I mean, you look at Barack Obama right now. Look at pictures of him 6 years ago. Look at pictures of him today. There's the same thing that George Bush went through, the same thing that his father went through, the same thing that Clinton went through. You know, for all the power, prestige, and all the opportunity to come with it, the presidency has to be a order of a job for these people to look so road hard and put them wet by the time they come out of a couple of terms. They do. They took out, you know, like, they look rough. They look like some people, you know, they live around them in the bread dough and baked them a few times. Because, you know, a lot of the things that goes on out there, now they may never ever reach like, you know, global catastrophe status, but imagine the day-to-day aggravating of dealing with, you know, country, you know, 87 in the world ratios, a country that you could probably throw a rock across, but they're critical to something, and you've got to smooth them over. You got to, you know, you got to deal with the administration of a vast bureaucracy that the right wing doesn't like. I just, I'm feeling a little bit nostalgic for those days, but those are heavy things to be involved in, and it has to drain you to some extent. And I, like you said, you know, I mean, it's great. I mean, I cannot imagine that Senator Palin would sit there and go home that night, and then the next day she wakes up, shower, shave, get dressed, you know, brush her teeth, and then sit down with whatever staffing she has, and let's listen to what I said yesterday. And all the staff would be going, which way to the exit? Because I swear, I can't believe, and I don't want to believe, that we had somebody that close to the presidency if this was her natural intelligence. So that puts a chill down my back like you wouldn't believe. It's like what you heard me say about John McCain.
No, right, John. I mean, it goes back to something I've said in the past. As frustrated as I get with Barack Obama, all I have to do is you know, access this little fantasy horror closet that exists inside my brain, and I've got a loop that got buried there from an alternate universe, and I'm watching a television, and it's the it's a static shot of the White House press room, and there's a voiceover that says, with the tragic passing of President John McCain from skin cancer, we take you now to the White House for the swearing in of President Palin. And then all of a sudden, I'm not nearly as frustrated with Barack Obama anymore. And maybe that shows that I'm a fool. Maybe that shows that, as my green friends tell me, I've been sucked into the false duality. But the last I checked, the false duality is the only goddamn thing on the ballot every November, John.
No, that's the thing about it, and you alluded to this in the past, Michelle. Even the Democratic candidates, you don't get to vote in this country for who you want. You get to pick out of a very, very small number of horses that have been put up to run. And those horses have already been vetted. They've already been, you know, they've already have been given the lecture. There's a little conspiracy theory. It's not really a conspiracy theory, but it's always a saying that floats around Washington, D.C., and I don't know how true it is, but they always say that the President of the United States runs on great mobility, but the first day in office, he sits down at the Oval Office, and he has a set of people sitting around the desk, and then they tell him what he really can do. Not what he ran on, but what he can really do.
Right.
And it's like, at that point in time, you realize that he's not actually running things. He's allowed to run things. But there's a big difference.
Which is precisely why I make the argument constantly, John, that we are a crumbling empire, and that presidents are not presidents anymore the way that we've been taught to think presidents are, but they are, in fact, imperial administrators, and that empires do not tolerate left imperial administrators. It is, the center is as far left as you can get. When the nature of most empire is such that it will be right to center right. And that's what you get. And I don't care. I don't care who your fan Elizabeth Warren, who is not going to run for president, but a bunch of people are still hooting and hollering about Elizabeth Warren. Were she to become president of the United States, would not be able to channel her inner FDR. It would not be allowed.
No. Now, that's the thing about the capitalistic system, is it wields power in ways. See, I've always been amazed. And then, I sense an abbreviated short soapbox here. But I've always been amazed at the self-fulfilling prophecies of business. They'll flip up and down. This is job-killing regulation. Well, yeah, it's job-killing regulation because you choose not to hire. And you'll blame the regulations you don't like. As long as business has, quote-unquote, the private property rights to be able to run their businesses the way they see fit, then it's self-fulfilling. If they do not want, if it is in their best interest or their perceived best interest, your Koch brothers, the reality is they do not really want to run this country. They just want to make the money off of it.
They want to. No. This, we are living, whether we recognize it or not, John, in the triumph of anarcho-capitalism. Okay? We are living in the triumph of Ayn Rand. May she burn in hell. Because the reason you've got a bunch of right wingers in government who hate government in the first place is to destroy that government and make it safe for unrestrained, merciless capitalism, merciless, remorseless capitalism, in which the gulf between the rich and the poor get wider and wider, and the middle class is eventually shunted down into that poor and becomes non-existent, and that is their idea of paradise.
I differ with you slightly. Your theme totally fits right within my thoughts, but I suspect that the reality falls somewhere maybe slightly less than center of that ideal. They like government as long as they can control that government. They want to keep the big military, and they want the police forces to be paid out of tax money, because if they went completely to a completely private system, and they bled all the money away from the...
No. They'll pay for the military, and they'll pay for the cops, sure. But you know, the idea of government that you know, Adams and Jefferson and Franklin and Washington and even Hamilton were promulgating, that's, no, that is anathema. That's wrong. And democracy? Oh, no, no, we'll not be having any democracy, thank you.
No, that's, that's one of the things they're scared about with Greece. There's rumblings coming out of the Eastern Bloc areas that Greece is going to just totally walk away from the loan agreements and stuff that they put together. And from what I'm reading in some of the blog posts I've been picking up, the stock market is just bracing, because that's going to stop. They're worried that that's going to start the domino process, because those are tens of trillions of dollars. I mean, you know, tens and tens and tens of billions of dollars in loans, that if they just go flat, we're not paying them, you may just take them under, basically with a gun to our head, and we now order a new government in, and we're going to just say, no, we're going back to the drachma. That's the thing that's flying in the air right now, is that Greece is actually thinking about stepping away from the euro altogether and go back to the drachma. Well, if they pull out and just refugiate all that loans, then that could start the ball rolling. And we could be right back into another 2008-2009 deal where you've got major banks that are now leveraged to the hilt. You know, we could be right back where we started from, you know, 7 years ago. And so I suspect the next 6 months are going to be pretty interesting. But anyway, your conversations did attract my attention.
Well, I always enjoy ours, John, and I thank you for taking the time to call in and participate in the conversation.
I enjoy it. I guess I will be getting off the phone, because I just watched a guy drive over for somebody's pickup.
Ouch. Well,
some arm waving has now started, so
You know what? Yeah, it sounds like a good idea, and I hope you're not driving where any of this evil crap is.
Oh, no, I'm actually, I forgot which guy you're saying. I'm California. I'm sitting down here in Bakersfield right now. I'm actually sitting in my truck right now, and it's so damn warm I've had to take my shirt off, and I have my windows rolled up now so I can talk to you, but as soon as I hang up, I'm wearing my windows down, so get some breeze going, but, you know, it's all muggy down here, and, you know, you're seeing people walking around in flip-flops and shorts and
white. Okay, so stop. Okay, so stop.
And, I won't go any further because I feel for you. If I had nowhere to send it, I'd buy a tank of propane or something and send it to you.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. You stay safe, and I'm glad you're warm. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy John calling from the road from Bakersfield in this particular instance. Let's see, where are we? We are at 20 minutes past the hour. Both lines, both the 304-574-8178 line and the Gizmo line, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN, both of those are open if you want to jump into the conversation, and you're welcome so to do. Wow, awesome gang in the chat room this evening, by the way. Good evening, Blake and Madison. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Carol Abel. Good evening, Devin and Dr. Who and Flavio. Jan and Jerry are with us. Good evening, John. Good evening, Jug of Punch, Kathy, Laborman, Michael, Mr. Gibson, Texas Betsy, Lottie, Sparky, Todd, and Will from Chicago are all on board, and it's good to see you this frigid freaking evening. And I want to send thanks out right away to Paul and to Jug of Punch. Between them, we are only, we're $65 away from reaching this evening's fundraising goal, which is really helpful insofar. I tallied it up, and I think this is going to be something on the order of a $300 propane week.
Oh!
Yeah, I know. But that's the reality. Thank you very kindly, Paul and Jug of Punch and Bill. Thank you very much. A little break. Light up the phones if you want to. I look forward to hearing from you. Let's see here. Yeah, why not? Okay. Like I said, a little break, and we'll be right back. This is listener-supported conversation radio. It's Moran Monday, minus the Calliope music, of course. And we'll see what you've got to say. Both lines are now busy, so should be pretty good. I'm Bob Kincaid. I bet you Bill will like this.
yummy straight-ahead rock and roll from a long, long time ago. Ricky Medlock and Blackfoot. Train, train. A little Muscle Shoals music. This is the Horn for More and Monday, 26 minutes past the hour. And let's run over to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's me, Flavio, again.
Well, hey, Flavio.
No, I just wanted to say it's just so crazy. These people are so crazy. I'm speechless. No, but what I wanted to say was that help me, Bob.
I'm sorry. I'm outside my brief.
Okay. No. I listen to you because you are always so on point. And I don't understand how people can fall for the stuff that we hear every day. Michelle Bachmann, Joni Ernst. How can people fall for that? It just blows my mind.
I got no answer. I mean, that's the $64 question.
No, like
if you get that sorted out, Flavio, you holler, okay? Because that's what drives most progressives crazy. Why do there's an element of privilege attached to it because you can hear a lot of liberals say, why is it, do you suppose, that those ignorant rednecks keep voting against their own economic interests, Mothy? Never understanding that they just don't understand what the values of the rednecks are.
But this is the thing, it's going against their interests, right? Our interests.
Well, they have been taught that to think of community, well, you know, there's a reason community and communism come from the same word. So if we think about the community, we're thinking about communism. And communism's bad. So we should probably plow our roads up to gravel and leave clean water to the corporate interests. And, well, you know, if a train blows up in West Virginia once in a while or North Dakota or Alabama or Quebec
or Wisconsin
or anywhere else that the trains have blown up, well, that's just...
It's like you can't talk to those
people. Okay, you mentioned, in our original conversation, Flavio, you mentioned where was I going? I got distracted.
The lieutenant colonels?
No. You mentioned you know the getting sidetracked by religion and stuff like that, and the genius of the right in dividing people against themselves.
Oh yeah.
Well, see, our side doesn't even bother with that. It's precisely because you know if you are presented with the and if you're of the right mindset and you're presented with the mental image of some poor little baby being ripped untimely from its mama's womb as birth control and a pair of scissors stabbed right into its little baby neck. Well,
hey,
you're going to... Stop.
Do you remember?
Stop, Flavio.
Do you remember
Flavio, wait. If you're worked up by that, they've got you by the heart, okay? Meanwhile, let me finish the thought. You asked the question.
Okay,
I'm trying to answer.
Go ahead.
They've got you by the heart.
Now, meanwhile, we put up people like John Kerry in 2004 who say, what America needs is to understand that the tax and fiscal policy of the United States must be modified to achieve a greater level of... And America went, because it didn't grab... We as progressives don't grab people by the heart. We try to appeal to their little noggins, while the right wing's over there playing their hearts like harp strings.
Like harp strings. You're right. Absolutely. That's the thing. The thing that I was thinking of was, do you remember way back in the day, the Premies in Iraq?
Oh, sure. No, well, they were in Kuwait. And they were being ripped off the incubators, and George H.W. Bush heroically said, this will not stand. And we don't, and it turned out that the whole thing was a godforsaken fraud. It never happened, but it was certainly good enough to get our war on.
Do you remember the law firm?
Which law firm?
The law firm that propelled that.
Offhand, no, I don't.
Oh, God.
But wait, Flavia, no offense, but I need to roll because there's other people waiting to talk, and I want to make sure everybody gets their chance this evening. Okay?
No, but do you remember the law firm? It was a law firm.
Well, I know, but I got to roll because I want everybody to have their chance to talk. Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk soon. Bye now.
Ciao.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't like. We've got enough people wanting to talk that and time is short enough that I want to make sure that we get everybody in. That's all. Let's see here. To the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, Bob. It's Jason.
Hey, Jason. What's happening?
Nothing. You don't want me to tell you the weather, do you?
I'm sorry?
You don't want me to tell you the weather, do you?
No, don't. No, please. I know where you are. No, don't tell me the weather.
Okay, I won't. I was wondering if I should drag it out, but I think
No. I can't stand the heartbreak right now. We're at least until the roads get clear enough to go buy more, we're kind of rationing propane bottles here, so it's kind of ugly.
I understand. Yeah, I'm probably heading back up. Couple of weeks. I wanted to be there today, actually, in Charleston, at the rally. The rally. That's the one.
Yeah, but there, I did too. But there was no way for me to get off the mountain.
Yeah, and you know, I got to thinking, I'm going to be there in like 2 weeks, and I just couldn't justify, you know, with myself driving up there. You know, I had a lot of brothers go. You know, I got a lot of pictures from, you know, friends and everybody that were there. It looked like I made a good choice. Not a real a fan of snowstorms. So, anyway, I was going to talk about that Balkan cruise.
Do please.
I've worked on this stuff for years. And they're already refining that stuff here. There is a Flint Hills refinery in just outside of St. Paul, Minnesota, and if you know anything about the oil industry, you know who owns Flint Hills.
Please tell me it's the Koch brothers.
It is.
Of course.
That's the name of their refining.
Got it in one.
So Flint Hills. There's one in Texas and one closer to the coast, and they are spending $1 billion, a billion with a B. A year for the next 5 years to be the top producer of Balkan crude right there in St. Paul, Minnesota. There's another refinery down around St. Louis, just outside of St. Louis. It used to be owned by Conoco. I think it was bought out. It's a Wood River and this, and then I know they're just starting something right now, and I believe it's $1.5 billion to run that Vulcan crude through there and refine it, because it's really, really gritty stuff. You know,
it's not the same thing as tar sands crude. It's not that sludge.
This stuff
has a volatility that's twice that of gasoline.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This bomb train was on the way to the receiving terminal for refining at Yorktown, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tom said, like, these Vulcan crudes and this tar sands and all this crude that they're wanting to run, I mean, you know, the refineries have to get years ahead of these people to run this stuff. And they are spending billions and billions of dollars to run this stuff. So they're expecting to run it. And that's why you see all these, you know, senators and congressmen getting $250,000 and this and that, to try to get these pipelines through and run all this crude that they're going to get this, you know, because, you know, this stuff's basically gone. they're really nice. You know, that stuff out of Saudi Arabia, there, if you look at their numbers, they're on the downside. You know, we're not going to get a whole lot many more years of that really nice sweet crude oil. We're going to get, you know, junk and mud, you know, and that's what these people are preparing to run.
Right. This stuff is the oil equivalent of what lignite is to coal.
Right, exactly.
Lignite is just carboniferous mud.
Yeah, I worked in Mississippi at that lignite powerhouse that they built over there, you know, going to be clean coal, you know, and they have spent $6.2 billion on this facility. It still don't run. Think of that. $6.2 billion that they've charged the taxpayers. Because I don't know if anybody knows it or not, but, that, you know, being a power company is a sweet deal.
That's why I tweeted earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, that I was sure that some Appalachian power executive was grinning,
yeah.
Was grinning and putting
exactly
together the rate increase papers.
Yes, I saw that. Yes, you know, because, you know, and that's so true, because these people, you know, they charge you before the power lines and the power plants are even built. You pay for it, so you pay for the facility. It's a no lose situation. You know, all they do is you need to get the contractors in there to build the stupid thing. And you've paid for it, and now you're buying power from something you paid for. They have no, you know, they talk about, you know, they're job creators and all this kind of stuff, and these big capital investments. Hell, they're getting the money from the people. You know, like Florida, you know, I'm sorry to mention I was in Florida, but.
No, that's okay, I knew. Just suffering in silence.
In Florida, they were going to build, they had a nuclear powerhouse at, one of their containment walls cracked and broke, had to shut it down and kind of decommission the thing. So they said, okay, we're going to build two more units here over in Crystal River, Florida. So they started charging the people for it for like 5 years. Then they decided, well, we're not going to build those nuclear powerhouses. And they got all the money. I think they got like $2 billion. Duke Energy, they got $2 billion from the people to build two nuclear powerhouses that they've already just said, we ain't building them, you know. So, and our wonderful governor here, you know, is not. You haven't heard a peep out of him about, well, maybe you should give the people back the money. they don't do that. They just take the money and take the money and take the money. And so, you know, these, you know, I like what you were telling that other guy there about, you know, like Republicans, you know, you know, if you get somebody on abortion, you get somebody on guns, you get somebody on cheapest, and they all seem to me that they have one point. They have one point that they're all fired up about. You know, either it's, you know, Jesus, or either it's terrorists, or it's guns or it's abortion or whatever it is.
But with things like exploding trains, Jason, doesn't it seem like we're kind of missing the point with the terrorism thing? Terrorists have never blown up any crude oil trains in the United States.
No.
Terrorists have never poisoned 300,000 people's water.
I'm with you.
Terrorists have never incinerated 29 people in a dank and gassy coal mine.
Yes.
Terrorists didn't run a super tanker aground in what was it, Prudhoe Bay?
Yeah. They didn't blow up an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. I think we're almost enemies, you know. And
how do you look at anybody who does that and feel like, well, you know, accidents happen? I mean, they didn't. They burned a man out of his house today, but well, they didn't mean anything by it. They were just trying to make a buck.
So here's
the obvious question, Jason. If ISIS was just trying to make a buck by cutting off people's heads, would we give them a pass and say, well, you know, it's capitalism?
You know, I hope they're not listening because they might take your idea. I mean, can you imagine how many people in America would send them a dollar? You know, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's probably millions of people who in America that agree with that shit. You know, but, you know, I've noticed that, you know, they went and said that they're Egyptian Christians. They stopped the Coptic Christians. And Coptic Christians, I believe,
Coptic Christianity began in Egypt.
Right.
But if you say Coptic Christians, Emery and Marveline go, are they really Christians? I mean,
right.
That ain't like Methodists or nothing. But if you say Egyptian Christians, then Emery and Marveline say they're persecuting the Christians.
That's exactly right. Exactly. That was the point. You made it for me. I was going to say it because the Coptic Christians, if the Christians knew what the Coptic Christians believed, they'd probably call them heretics. You know,
because
the Coptic Christians, you know, don't believe in the divinity of Christ. They believe Christ was a human, and there was a human Christ, and then there was God. So
right. And the Fundies would probably line up behind ISIS to get it to take a swing.
They'd hand a knife for them. They'd hand them the damn knife. Here you go. Get rid of them heretics. Right. That's what I'm
Never mind. They're one of the oldest sects of Christianity on the planet.
Exactly. And the thing that gets me is it's like yesterday when I first saw somebody stuff come through the news feed, it was Coptic Christians, and then all of a sudden now it's just Egyptian Christians. Like, it's trying to get the American people, because they know there's enough fools out there who want to go blow up something with some more, you know, million-dollar bombs. You know, I guess we got plenty of them. And it's like on all the news agencies now that they're saying the Egyptian Christian. Nobody's, you know, because... Well, I don't think Christians are smart enough to look up what a Coptic Christian is. You know, all they hear is the Christian word, and of course they're ready to go kill everybody that, you know, that's got brown skin and lives in the Middle East.
There you go.
But, yeah, you know, and that's, you know, because I have some sons in the military too, and both of them served and made it home alive, by the way,
Good.
And they, you know, one of my boys, you know, and they have, you fill out all your paperwork before you go to war, right? You know, your will and all stuff. And they have to put down, you know, what they are, you know, you're Christian, you're Methodist or whatever, Baptist, whatever. And he put atheist. And, and they made him change his paperwork. Because they said, if you leave that on there, you know, you will never go anywhere in the military. And they were told straight up. You know, so he had to put like no, you know, or spiritual or no religious affiliation or something like that. You just couldn't put atheist, whatever he feels he is, you know. In our very own military, my military, we pay for his crap, you know. That, you know, my kid, you know, my other kid, he's, I don't know what he is, but he's something, you know. But the one, you know, feels he is an atheist, and he can't put that down on his paperwork in the United States military. Because that won't, you know, they'll keep him like a, you know, a buck private forever because, you know, he, you know, doesn't believe in God or something. And he says they try to pump that stuff up on him before they head over there that, you know, God is with them and so on and so forth, you know. Basically, they're almost pumping the religious war thing in our military. And these are coming from my boys, you know. And I don't see them calling me up and telling me this stuff don't like it's a lie. You know, and that really aggravates me that, you know, that happens in our military. So I see when they start pumping this stuff on the TV and, you know, I've been home for a while on vacation and I kind of do a little trolling when I'm... when I'm home on some of these religious sites. And in the past couple of days, these people are doing nothing but calling for blood.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and they want, you know, full scale, you know, 100,000, 200,000 people over there to murder these people and everybody, you know, everybody that exists over there. You know,
yep.
And I think, you know.
Yeah, but what makes simpletons of us all is the notion that it is being done solely and strictly for religious sake. Anytime somebody's using religion as a reason, 9 times out of 10, there's somebody at the top of the pyramid who is leveraging their own desire for autocratic power
with religion. Sure.
With religion.
Laughing.
Yeah, all the way to the Capitol or the bank or both. Hey, Jason, I got to roll because I want to make sure we get a couple more folks in. Awful good to hear from you. I'm glad you're warm.
It's 70 degrees today, by the way.
Yeah, okay. I knew you couldn't. You just couldn't. You couldn't.
Yeah, I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
Well, have an orange for me or something.
Yeah, I got them in the yard.
Oh! All right, Jason.
This is the time of year they're done anyway, so they're all orange and ready to eat. So.
Yummy.
Anyway,
We'll see you later. All right. Be good. Bye now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Our buddy Jason in Florida. And, hey, with 11 minutes left to go in the program, we have $65 to go in fundraising for the evening, and it would be really, really nice if we actually met that goal. At this point in time, I will tell you that it's going to go for propane. I'm not kidding. Because we're running it through about... And you know, as somebody who's worried about climate change, I'm not happy to say this, but it's just the reality. Between the two little propane space heaters we have, we're running through about 12 bottles a day. Because one bottle so it's 6 bottles a day, because one bottle lasts about 4 hours. So that's where we are. Let's go. I think we've got Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bob. First of all, thanks for the music.
I always think of you when I hear that harp riff.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, I did it twice, in my wedge career, on the, we did the Mystery Train, I think, of the CD that was called Killer's Drift. And I did Mojo, because they're the same beat. And the song originally was done by Junior Parker, and then Elvis cut a version in 55 or early 56 on some. I didn't lose you, did I?
No, right here.
Okay. Anyway, that was a... Yeah, that made me sit bolt upright. The guy, I don't know, my sound is different. My sound was, I was an individual note player a lot more than a damn clarinet playing. Speaking of which, tomorrow is, what do they used to call, they call that something in New Orleans.
Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday, thank you. Yeah. Being an RC, I should know that stuff, but RC, yeah. A recalcitrant craft Catholic, I think they call me now. Or reluctant, or refusnik, or a few other things. But that thing, that plan was good, but I don't know, my hair always stands out, and I said, well, I can do that. Yeah, okay, fine. Good slide work, too, whoever it was. I remember those guys, but not greatly, you know. It's a long time. But, yeah, this whole situation is the same again. Maybe it's a problem that people are bored with, and you and I can go right back and start pointing a finger at how long it's to all this Middle Eastern crap and how long it has taken to develop. I'm beginning to think that Saudi Arabia owns the U.S.
A big chunk of it. Sure. Remember when George W. Bush and Laura used to take Bandar Bush to football games and stuff? Well, now it turns out, according to the testimony of Zacharias Moussaoui in the 9/11 civil suit, that he was one of the contributors to the hijackers.
Yeah, this thing just, well, you know, there's a whole, when I was a kid, there was a whole generation of people who had a bad attitude about Pearl Harbor. And I know for a fact from reading that Roosevelt and one of his right-hand men knew that the Japanese fleet was moving toward Burma. You know, because in this country, people don't know, everybody knows vaguely what Pearl Harbor was. But and then there's a question amongst people, where were the aircraft carriers? There wasn't a single aircraft carrier at Pearl. And that would be, I mean, I don't know how much you feel, but most of us would, and Jim, your neighbor, would tell you that the aircraft carrier was the king of the Pacific.
Right. The fact that they didn't get the aircraft carriers meant that the mission was not accomplished.
Yeah, what does your dad do? He's an engine room guy?
Yeah, well, he was a boiler room guy.
He was a what?
He was a boiler room guy. Back then, they were called the nomenclature was he was a water tender.
What was he on, a carrier or?
Yeah, he was on a carrier, and he was on the namesake of the Essex class. He was on the Essex, the biggest carrier of its time.
Okay, yeah, because there's always been a question: why were none of our carriers at Pearl? Thank God they were then. Thank whoever. It's hard to kill these phrases, isn't it, Bob? Kill, thank God. God damn it. What do I mean with an atheist? Call upon Jesus. I did call upon Jesus a lot when I had a wrench in my hand, but
I've been hollering his name a little bit lately too.
Well, how is it going with your installation?
With the equipment and stuff? Well, I said earlier, I did not get to do it simply because it's been too damned cold back here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna run howling out of the room as quickly as the program is over. I kid you not.
Well, I just can't understand with your temperature down there. I'm still from an era in the era when computers were room size items and sensitive, yeah, super sensitive. You've been on the money tonight. Who's the caller from Brazil?
That was Flavio. That was Flavio. He's actually in Wisconsin, but he comes from Brazil.
I've never heard him before, but
that may have been his first call this evening.
I don't hear any accent there either. His English is better than mine, for God's sake.
Oh, Flavio is multilingual and multi-talented.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I wish I could get my friend up to... When a buddy of mine worked on the computer, he thought he was helping me by changing the color. And when my other friend saw it, he had enough. But I haven't been bugging that poor man because the weather is between Cleveland and the place where the Cuyahoga waterfalls are is the weather has been horrendous to say the least, and it was zero outside today.
Right, and we've dodged it. We've dodged a lot of it this winter, but we're getting our turn for the next few days. We could see, like I said, 20 below in a couple of nights, and well, hell, it'll be brutal back here.
The consistency of the extreme cold. the snowfall has been nothing to me because, as I say, at age 7, I lived through a 24 inches of snow and 24-hour storm, which, and the lake effect, it depends on the wind. If the wind's coming out of the northwest, it hits us bad. And when it goes due west, that's when buffalo gets buried. Is that, you know, the water passes over the coldness of the lake, and I think Lake Erie is pretty much heavily frozen, which does not happen that much because a few times I was signed on a charter to go ice fishing, and maybe good old Jesus can walk on the water, but we've had situations up here where guys have been out around Lake Erie Islands, and they have to expand their cars out there. The ice flow starts to break up, and there goes the guy's car. People can be stupid sometimes, you know?
Well,
yeah, but
indeed,
I had
indeed.
To call after that song, because it's a little psychedelic for me, but... Because if you can find that by the Butterfield Blues Band someday and play it,
yeah, absolutely. And that particular song, you know, that's just straight up Southern rock, you know, just Southern fried rock from a million years ago. Hey, Bill, I got to roll out of here because we're right up against it. But it's good to hear from you. Stay warm.
You hang in there and try to stay warm, my friends. Take care.
We're gonna try later. Bye now. Our buddy Bill, calling from Cleveland, Mr. Stress, the legendary bluesman. It is time to get out of here. We will close the program $65 down in fundraising. Thank you very kindly for the help you provided this evening, Paul and Bill and Thomas. It is deeply appreciated, one and all. Thanks, everybody, for keeping this all going. With any luck at all, no more exploding bomb trains, and we'll just have a Titanic Tuesday tomorrow of regular proportions. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. But always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.